Welcome to the Elijah Rising podcast. Elijah Rising is an organization empowering women recovering from sexual exploitation. This episode is going to help you become more aware about the issue of sex trafficking and inspire you to take action.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Elijah Rising podcast. My name is David Gamboa, and today we have a very special guest, Lee Kohler, who is the president and founder of the Freedom Church Alliance. And why don't you share a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Well, thanks so much for having me on today. I'm a native Houstonian. My husband and I have been married 24 years. We have three kids. I have one son who's in college, a son who's a senior in high school about to graduate, and a freshman daughter. I got involved in the anti-trafficking movement about 12 years ago when I actually went to a showing of the documentary Nefarious Merchant of Souls, and like a lot of people, and then did a van tour with Elijah Rising, and that was a lot of my introduction into the world. And I ended up starting it just was very organic. I took some friends on a band tour. We decided we wanted to start praying every other Tuesday night, and that happened. And I always say it was like picking up breadcrumbs after that. God just really started to direct my steps. I ended up going to India and joining the board of an organization there for 5 years that rescues little girls who are born in brothels. Their mothers are sex slaves there, and just an amazing ministry where these mothers are able to bring their daughters. There's a 95% chance that a little girl who's born in a brothel will also become a sex slave. There are traffickers who come to buy little girls and children. And so the mothers find out about this ministry and they bring their little girls and say, we want them to have a different life. And so anyway, that was amazing. Came back. A missions pastor at my church sent me to a meeting. And that, sorry, Dave, now I'm getting into the kind of story of how I even got started and all of the facts and who I am or what I'm doing. At that time, I had been a high school English teacher and was staying home with my three kids who were pretty small at the time. Sorry for that voice wreck. And so my admissions pastor sent me to this meeting at a church in Houston. There were four or five different representatives from various churches sitting around a table. And at that time, it just seems like there was a real awakening happening in the church where God was opening people's eyes to the evil of human trafficking. And for many of us, we were just learning about it, even though for sure there had been people on the front lines fighting for a while. But it's like the lid just got blown off and all of a sudden all this awareness started happening. But people didn't know what to do. And so we sat around that table that day and everybody was like, well, what is your church doing? What is your church doing? And kind of the common theme was, well, awareness is happening, but we don't know what to do next. How do we mobilize our people? So the idea that came out of that meeting was, hey, with all of the churches, hundreds of churches in our city, rather than everyone work in a silo and do their own thing, this problem is too big for one church. It's too big for one organization. But if we could work together and bring churches together, we could be a force. So that was where the vision of the Freedom Church Alliance came out. So we had a few churches that were kind of just these foundational churches who started, who said, we're in, and we start meeting together. We have a church council. We now have 30 churches in the alliance. We've just been very grassroots, kind of word of mouth. People hear about it and go, okay, we want to join in. And all of those churches give together, and we support trusted partners like you guys and others. Basically, we want to be a bridge between the church and the many ministries that are doing great work. And in fact, we said, let's not reinvent the wheel, but let's get behind and do great work that's already being done. And then let's, you know, see where there are gaps and try to help fill those gaps. So that's been I was one of a few people that helped start the Freedom Church Alliance. And then it's just been my honor to continue to serve 10 years later. We're about the 10-year mark for the Freedom Church Alliance.
And I think that's amazing that, you know, you're working to build an alliance of churches. A lot of times that's very difficult to do just because churches operate differently. They have different beliefs, and honestly, I used to be a pastor. So much of the work just involves serving your congregation. And a lot of times you don't have the time or the resource to think kind of outside of that lane. But I love what you're doing in that you're bringing together the body of Christ in Houston, which I think is necessary. you're bringing together ministries who are doing a very specific task. So when you began with the Freedom Church Alliance, you know, what was kind of the big vision, and maybe how has that changed now?
Yeah, I think the vision has really stayed the same. We all of us sitting around the table that day, it was like, what we know is that the church has always been God's plan A for bringing his redemption into the world. If you look at the wake of the church throughout history, you're going to see universities and schools. You're going to see homes for children and orphanages. You're going to see hospitals. And that is because if you are a believer, your story in Christ Jesus is rescue, right? Like, I look at all the brokenness and all of the suffering that sin causes. And as a Christian, what I realize is that that same sin lives in me. That's why God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And as we put our faith, as I put my faith in Jesus Christ, that's salvation, right? That we can be forgiven. That's the good news of the gospel, that God sent his son to a very broken, sin-sick world. And he became a sacrifice, a just God. And this is, I think, so beautiful, that God is just. We wouldn't say, you know, God would have been completely right to wipe us all out, right? Like, how does a good God, when there's so much evil in the world, he could have just obliterated us all and been perfectly justified in that. But in his mercy, he sent his son. And that's the good news of the gospel. So in essence, if you're a believer, you are already, we're recipients of rescue. And so now the fact that our lives can be changed, we're given Jesus Christ, we're given the Holy Spirit, our lives, he can redeem. He says that he'll take what the enemy meant for harm and use it for good. And so all of that, the love of Christ that fills us through his Spirit once we become a Christian, all of that. So it's not that we're, oh, these awesome people, because for sure the church has made mistakes. And the Bible tells us that within the church, you have weeds and tares. So he says, not everybody that even says they're a Christian, right? And I think that's something we need to be reminded of, even really belongs to the Lord. That's kind of the days that we're living in. And so, but he's always going to have a remnant of believers. And so we are compelled to, it's our love for God that compels us to act. So that's a long answer, you know, to that question. But I just think that gives a little background to this, to the importance of why the church is engaged in this. We have hope because of what he's done in our lives. And we want to share that hope with the world. And so that has never changed, that simple message that it's the good news. And we have seen it. We've seen lives be completely transformed when Jesus comes and he changes everything. And so that's why, as a church, we don't want to just go on Sunday mornings into our buildings and hear another sermon and leave, but not, you know, Monday through Saturday have an impact on the world around us. Not when we've been given this great gift of salvation. We're meant to share that, and the gospel has hands and feet. And so we want to put love in action. And so that's so important. So that's really the mission, is to be able to carry the good news of hope into a domain that is filled with a lot of hopelessness and a lot of brokenness and devastation. And not only that, but, you know, we love the God of justice, and we want to be people of justice. There's so much in his word about, you know, I think of Proverbs 31:8-9 about speaking up for those who don't have a voice. I mean, it's just what we're called to do is to be people who care about justice, because God cares about justice and we care about what he cares about.
Yeah. And you're resourcing the church to play a role in this. That what I think is so important, because, you know, when I was a young adult pastor and I learned about trafficking, there wasn't a whole bunch of information that was like really accessible, because I heard about it and I was passionate and I told my church and they were all passionate. So we had hundreds of passionate people, but we didn't know what to do next.
Right. And that's why we actually created the Go Box in the first place.
Our listeners, because some people are not in Houston, so they might not have heard what a Go Box is.
Yeah, okay. Well, sure. I'll tell you. So the first time that we created the Go Box, it was really in response to just a big gap that we saw in the movement. And as people were starting to become aware of the problem of trafficking, it was kind of like, just like you said, it was like, well, wait, what do I do and how can I go deeper? And there was a lot of information. If you started to Google human trafficking, you could find a lot of information, but it can almost be overwhelming and intimidating. There was a woman who was volunteering with me at the time, and she was like, you know, let's create. She really had this idea for creating something tangible that we could hand people. And honestly, we did you know, we wanted to serve our churches in this way. We wanted to create this so that the churches in the Alliance, if you have a missions pastor, like, we understand that for churches, they've got missionaries all over the world. They're also wanting to, you know, they're fighting poverty and hunger, and there's the refugee crisis, like human trafficking, right, is one of the many issues that we're all, you know, facing. And so that's one of the ways that we really wanted to come along and help serve the church, was by creating things that could help liberalize the church. And so we wanted to create something that, you know, if someone in a church went to their missions pastor and said, hey, I just learned about human trafficking. What is our church doing? Or how can I learn more? They could literally hand them this box and say, we'll start here. And what we did is we just collected a bunch of the best information about human trafficking. We talked about the importance of prayer as the foundation. We talked about root issues like demand and pornography. And then we talked about ways that you can get involved. What are practical ways that you can use your skills, your time, your resources? How can you leverage what God is giving you to join the fight? And so we wanted to give people a lot of practical next steps. And so that's what we did. We created this Go Box, the first round, and it was very Houston-based. And every chapter, we had 9 chapters, and at the end of each chapter, there was kind of a take the next step and then take it further. So here's your practical things to do, you know. One of them was go on a band tour, you know, with Elijah Rising at the end of chapter 1. So what happened over time is that we ran out of those. COVID hit. Also over the years, I will say before that, what was really cool about the Go Box is that they... churches started to have classes with them. So it was totally created for an individual. You could go through it on your own. But this is pretty heavy, right? So a lot of times people want to process this with other people. So we started these Go Box classes. Now we call them the Church and Human Trafficking classes. And what we would do is do like a 6-week series. People could go home and read the information. They could engage with the material. And then they could come back and we bring in speakers, different frontline partners. And it just turned into this course. And what we saw... Yeah, I'll give an example of one church out in Kingwood. Like, it lit a fire. They had probably 50 people coming for 6 weeks to come learn about trafficking. At the end of it, one of our partners, a safe home, who is not far from them, they ended up saying, okay, we're going to connect with this ministry. They're right down the road. They found out they needed a van. They bought them a van. They started mobilizing a group of women from their church to go out and bring meals and spend time with some of the survivors. And so we started to see things like that happen, just great fruit. Once people started to learn more and figure out ways they could help.
And
that was original. That's kind of the background. Yeah.
And then, what led y'all to create kind of the new?
Yeah. So 2.0, GoBox 2.0, do we call it, came about as a result of really praying and, like, you know, kind of throughout COVID going, man, we're out of these. We had some requests from other cities, you know, to go, hey, is this just Houston-based? Could you create something that might be useful, you know, for groups outside of Houston? Yeah, that was in the back of our minds. And so just praying through all of that, it was like, God, I'll just be honest. It was creating the first Go Box. I mean, we just shoestring budget. There were 3 of us doing it. There was honestly a lot of warfare around it. Like, by the time that thing was done, it was like you felt like all your blood swept to your, like, you'd given birth to something. And it was like, man, to pick this up again, we needed to update statistics. I wanted to add a chapter on prevention because we were really just learning, you know, early on when we were creating the Go Box. I remember adding a paragraph, but we were really learning even about, like, how the child welfare system fit in, you know, to the human trafficking movement. We were learning about, like, vulnerability. And so I wanted to add a whole chapter on, like, protecting kids and families and how we as the church could come around and do more prevention to keep it from happening in the first place. So I just knew it was going to be, like, it felt daunting, to be honest, David. Like, God, I can't do this unless I got to know it's you and you're in it. And God did something really miraculous for us, which it was just great because it was, for me, it was like, okay, I'm in this and I want you to go. And what happened is by the time I said, okay, we're going to make some more, didn't have a vision for this yet. I just was going to update what we had. Asked a friend of mine after church, who's super creative and honestly just needed a recommendation for, like, you know, for something, and said, hey, I think I'm going to create the new Go Box. I wanted to ask you a question. And he kind of was like, wait, you know, let me sit down with you and Allison, you know, because I think I might, I'd like to maybe help you with this. I have some ideas. And the 3 of us ended up meeting for breakfast, and he just laid out this amazing vision. I'm like, Lee, have you considered maybe this time making it less like a textbook and maybe more like an experience. And I was like, well, what do you mean by that? He's like, I don't know, just something, maybe something even more like a coffee table book that people could set out that's more of an experience. You could shoot videos, you know, make it more tactile and interactive and immersive. And I was like, man, this sounds awesome. And Alice and I are looking at each other like, wow, that would be great to create something like that, that people could really experience in that way and engage with in that way. But honestly, then I you know, your first thought said, well, how is this going to happen? I just wanted to tweet this. And that sounds really expensive. You know, you don't have to see it to a minute budget. And he said, I said, Stephen, that sounds like a great idea. How much would something like that cost to try to do this? And he basically told me, well, you probably need to raise six figures. That's what you told me. To do well and to do, I said, what? I just wanted to tweak it, you know? And so I got in my car and it was like, okay, we're going to pray. And just thought, Lord, if this is something that you want us to do to this scale of excellence, and then you're just going to have to provide for this. You know, everybody needs funds right now. We don't do a ton of fundraising. You know, we know all of our partners do funds, and we like to give to our partners. And God put the name of one woman on my heart who, honestly, I called her because during COVID, right before, she had reached out to me feeling like the Lord had put the Alliance on her heart, wanted to help. So I call her and I really just call her to say, hey, would you, you know, I think I'm going to maybe have a coffee and I'm going to invite some friends and people who are friends of the Alliance. And I might just pitch this idea and see if I could get some people that would maybe want to invest in that. And, you know, would you want to maybe help me host something like this? Can we do it at your house?
Yeah.
And she's like, and I said, I'd pray about it. No pressure. She said, she said, I would be happy to help you, Lee. I will pray about it and I'll call you back. And I would say about 4 weeks later, before church went Sunday morning, I go pick my phone up off my charger and I have this message from her that says, Lee, we don't need to do any coffees because my husband and I feel like the Lord has told us that we are to underwrite this entire project.
Wow.
Like the entire project. And one check, all six figures. And she came and dropped it off at my house, I think, like, you know. And I just, of course, I cry. You know, it's not that you're surprised God provides because we've seen him do this. It's just that he just knew what we had capacity to do. And he just provided it. And when he did it, it was like it gave us, it put the wind in our sails that we were able to go, okay, yes, sir. We think this means we're probably supposed to go for it. And we did. And so the process was amazing. And so that's a little bit about what led to this. We just knew his hand was on it in a special way from the beginning. And yeah.
We actually have one on the podcast right here. I don't know if we want to open it.
We totally can open it. Sure. The hedging can open it.
This will maybe get our listeners to go to YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
We also have this podcast video. Ron.
That's so listening. Well, in the old box, when you opened it, there were like 15 things that fall out into your
lap.
Now,
look at this. Can you see that?
Now, what you have is this book that we've called The Fight for Freedom, and it's a beautiful book. We have an amazing team. I just tell you how much I love the Body of Christ because I could never have done something like this. I mean, it's called The Fight for Freedom, and it just has, it has beautiful pictures and imagery throughout. I think one of my favorite responses has been from a survivor who just said, thank you for creating something so beautiful. Yeah. You've restored, it just restores dignity to survivors. And
farewell.
We wanted survey. So I love that. I love that the survivors who have read this and looked at it feel like, wow, like there's, it really is beautiful. And it's also just written in a way that you can stick with it and you can process it. And yes. You can still go through this with a group. In fact, we launched a new website, so there are tons. There are six experiences, and each experience, at the end, you'll find a QR code where you can go online, and we have, like, a ton. Our team is amazing and a ton of resources. We have a survivor testimony, but then we also have 9 videos. So can I tell you about that? Because that's pretty
awesome. Yeah.
So what happened is it turns out there's a girl I grew up with at my church who created this app that's pretty amazing. And so you download, but it had not been used in print yet. So we've kind of been guinea pigs for that. And so, but what it is at the beginning of the book, you download an app And once you've downloaded that app, there's 9 videos in this picture, in this book. So there's 9 pictures, and they have this little icon, this little, you know, icon, whatever. Yeah, I'm not saying that right. It's not, yes. So it's this, it's a little symbol. So you, when you see that symbol, you know, hey, that's a video. So here's one. Look, here's Joe Madison right there. Okay. So you get to this picture of Joe Madison. And so then you can pull out your phone and you open the app. And when you just put your phone over the picture, a video pops up. And wow, the video starts talking to you. And so you can actually watch the videos from survivors, field experts, as you go through the book. And it's a shorter version when you first watch it. And then at the end, a link pops up and you can watch the full video. And so it really is interactive in many ways. And so that's really the story of the book. The other items now that are in the Go Box are, we have a bracelet that was made. I'll read this, but they're just these beautiful bracelets. There's a ministry called Amada in Honduras. And so these were made by women and children in Honduras, and it provides for their physical, spiritual needs with the hope of helping them transform their communities and know their value in Christ. It's giving them dignified worth. These candles were hand-poured by Syrian refugees in the U.S., so it's kind of the same thing, empowering them, you know, with dignified work. And then we have these Go Do Good stickers, which are just reminders of our call as the church to do good.
Yeah.
To go and to do good, you know? And so anyway, that's a little bit about what all.
That's awesome, because, you know, it's for an individual, but it's also like I could see, you know, a small group going through this book, you know, pulling up the videos, casting it to your TV, you know, everyone kind of watching.
Yes. In fact, we just have a ministry that told us, I just got an email from a partner who said, you know what, our whole staff has watched all the videos and we're going through the book together as a team. I've gotten feedback from a counselor who said, you know, she's doing counseling with people who have gone through trauma, but hadn't done a deep dive into this. And she's got this book now on a table in her waiting room and went through this to gain a deeper understanding of human trafficking. So I think whether you've been doing anti-trafficking work for a while or whether you are an individual that's totally kind of new to this, but you want to learn more, I think there's something for everyone. And yeah, like you said, you can order a box and go through this on your own. But yeah, we have churches. I'm going to be speaking to a group on Sunday, and their church is going to do, they're going to do groups. So they're going to use the leader's guide that we have online, and they're going to set up some groups and take people through it. So there's a lot of different ways, yeah, that you can go through it. We have another, I'll tell you less more, we have another ministry partner that they have used the Go Box, the first one and now this one, every time they on-ramp new board members. That's kind of the training that they take their board members through. It's through the Go Box and the fight for freedom.
Hey, thank you for listening to the Elijah Rising podcast. If this episode has impacted you in any way, let us know. Go on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, or go to our website and send us a message. Let us know how these episodes have impacted you. And we provide this podcast and our services of doing outreach into the community and bringing awareness to human trafficking and 24/7 housing. We provide all of this free of charge. And we're only able to do that because people make donations and people support and get behind this work. And so if you want to be a part of that, you can go to ElijahRising.org/donate. And giving $10 or $20 a month goes a really long way. And I would encourage you to take that step and join us in the work to end sex trafficking.
The foundation of what we are doing, I believe, needs to be God's love and God's truth. So what he says about justice, if he's the God who is justice, you know, and there are so many, man, you go through and read the prophets in the Old Testament and scripture, you know, what you see is this scene that when God's people were walking with him and following him, right? Like he gives them the Ten Commandments. And basically, and then even in the New Testament, when people say, when someone comes to him and says, God, you know, what is the most important thing for me to do? And he says, this is the greatest commandment, that you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and that you would love your neighbor as yourself. And basically, God just summed up all of his character and his word through those two commandments. I want you to love me and make with all your heart, soul, and mind. And I want you to love people. And when we are following that, that is a game changer. And every time God's people have gotten away from that, like look at the book of Judges or look in Isaiah in Jeremiah, what followed with idol worship and kind of going the way of the culture, kind of succumbing to the, you know, the latest philosophies of the culture, people turning their back on God, is justice got distorted and perverted every time. And you see it like in Judges, right? It says everyone began to do what was right in their own eyes. And that's one of the biggest lies out there, right? Is that if I just, real liberty and freedom comes from doing what we all want, you know, just whatever feels good to us. But I mean, that doesn't even, if you just think about that for a minute, you know, and you look at the effect that that's having in our core and our human nature, let's just look at how, like, we don't even act on all the things. Think of everybody acted on, I mean, thank goodness, but there are a lot of people that are acting on, like, people, we have sinful impulses. And if everybody just, if there's no moral compass and everyone just does whatever they want to do, and we're kind of seeing that happen, the result of that is always chaos and confusion. And it always leads to more oppression, to more women being sexually assaulted and abused, more children being abused. And I think we see that, right? We see it in the pornography industry. We just see how feeding wrong desires and then living in a culture that says, do what you want. And then, you know, how dangerous that is. And so it just makes so much sense, I think, when you look at like God's word and his truth, that it's following his ways. He says, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And when Jesus comes into a life, like he changes everything. And you can think about this. I've kind of been fascinated with even going back to Rome, right? And looking at like in Roman times, how decadent. And I mean, it was gross, right? Like Nero was evil. I mean, he talks about like him castrating this young male and marrying him. I mean, anything went. I mean, it was so perverted. The Christians, and things like infanticide were legal, right? So a little girl could be killed up until 3 years old. I mean, there is actual, if you read any of like Jeremiah Johnson, who's just wrote a book. Oh, he's written a couple books. I'm going to have to, there's one he just came out with. I'm going to see if I can find it in a minute. But one of them is unimaginable, and it's kind of like what history would be like without Jesus. But there are a lot of books, like The Rise of Christianity, How Christianity Changed the World. Yeah, what is that book? Do you know what I'm talking about? I don't know. Okay, we got to think of it. I was just listening to it. Let's put it in the show notes. But he talks about this letter that they actually have that was written by a Roman soldier to his wife back home. He was away working, and he wrote a letter. She's about to have a baby, and said, if you have a boy, keep him. If you have a little girl, kill her. And it was just more evidence that that's what happened. And so the Christians were known for going around and picking up little girls who might have been eaten by wild animals, picked up and made slaves or sex slaves, picking them up and caring for them. Christianity, because of the sexual ethic in the Bible, made marriage sacred between a man and a woman. When in the New Testament, when it starts talking about like marriage and the sacredness of marriage, by the mistresses, like men could have as many mistresses as they wanted. Of course, the women, you know, it was different. They like, you know, held to different roles. So I'm just saying, in all these ways, even people who are not Christians looked at the Christians and went, these are a different people, you know, just strange. And so I think that in the same way today, the perspective that he has, having a biblical lens, is what brings so much freedom and life to people. And I believe as a Christian, and I think even in our ministry and organization, I feel such like a, you know, Proverbs 26 says this. It says, buy the truth and do not sell it. I have such like a fire in my bones to want to just, I don't know, to dig my heels in and to say, I believe in the Lord, and I believe his word is true. And regardless of the ways that the culture is going, regardless of the fact that, you know, the numbers are saying more and more people are walking away from faith or Christ or the Bible, like he's the solution. And of course the enemy's going to want people. I mean, I just think that's the big deception, is that you can find liberty apart from Christ, and there just isn't liberty apart from Christ. If you'll just indulge me for one more minute. I'll just give you some other examples of, I think, how I've seen this play out either in the world. You know, we are involved with some other kinds of ministries and projects around the world. One of them is Bible translation. We've been working on a translation in the Congo, our family and some other families, for the book of Luke, and partnering with the ministry, doing a lot of discipleship there. And there's this testimony of this one family where this father, you know, they got the word of God and they started reading it. They started getting discipled. And there's this man talking about how he used to beat his wife. And because of reading the word of God and learning God's ways, he's stopped beating his wife. And he started to learn what it means to be a good father, a godly father, to love his wife and his family. I was talking to someone recently, you know, about the children, thousands of children, in places. This partner, this ministry partner of mine had been in Africa, happens in Haiti, but there were thousands of children being hacked up. I'm just going to be like, their bodies hacked up and sacrificed as part of voodoo rituals, right? I mean, there are all kinds of stories and things happening in the world. And I believe that if people know the truth, and if we would look to the word of God, that changes everything. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, go ahead.
No, but you go. I was going to say, you know, it's especially what we see kind of on our end. The people that we interact, because we're kind of, I call ourselves a frontline ministry because we're providing direct service. So we're actually going to brothels, the streets.
Yeah.
We're seeing it firsthand what it's a good place.
Sure.
And one of the major things we're just being made aware of, and we've known about it, but we've never experienced the influx of people affected by this type of ritual abuse, cultic ritual abuse, where it's very, very, there is a heavy spiritual element. And if you're not able to understand that there is a God who is all powerful, who is able to deliver someone from this type of bondage or this type of oppression.
Yeah.
There really is no other way. There's no other way for freedom.
Right.
I
agree.
For these people. And the more we're silent on it because it's, you know, supernatural or dealing with spiritual thing, I feel like it puts people at a place where they feel like, well, I'm in a hopeless situation because people don't understand the spiritual bondage that I'm going through.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, we can provide housing, we can provide all these tangible needs, but a lot of times, I would say 100% of the time, it's the spiritual peace that the spiritual freedom needs to take place that leads to the emotional healing, at least to everything else.
Yeah. Totally.
In place.
Totally. And, you know, I just said that about the witch doctors, but on a radio program the other day, they were just talking about this missionary in Indonesia and was like, we just had 123 witch doctors give their life to Christ. And what they were doing was collecting, they wanted to send Bibles to them, you know, to be able to give them that. Like, here you've been operating under, you know, the realm of darkness.
Yeah.
And the enemy, we know, the scripture says that he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what we're seeing him do. And so you're right. It's just like you're saying. The antidote is the Lord, what the Spirit of God, and what his power is able to do in a life. And he does that. And he does that. He works powerfully through his word. People, that's where liberation happens, right? Is through his word. I think that if you don't believe in the real kind of spiritual forces of good and evil, like if you, I mean, after being 12 years kind of in this work, like I don't know what else to tell. Like there's just no other issue. Like to just say, I mean, there are evil and dark forces at the world. And I would throw this out there. Yeah, I remember a couple months ago driving downtown and I saw this huge billboard. I wrote it down in my notes, had some notes because I didn't want to forget. And I've seen a couple of these, but there was a huge billboard in our city that had this sign that said, oh, where did I put this? Hold on, let me find it. Oh, yeah, big letters, huge. It said, sleep in on Sunday. Like, don't go to church, sleep in on Sunday. And it was by this atheist organization. There was another one that said, enjoy your life, there is no afterlife. And so there was this atheist organization that was putting these up, right? Really all over the nation. And yeah, I mean, totally began, it made my blood begin to boil because I'm thinking, because you know all the things that you know are happening. You know all the suffering and the oppression and the evil that's out there. And you're going, and I, for me, it was this question. If you don't believe in God and you don't want to go to church and you want to sleep in and you don't believe in the afterlife, then I mean, that might be your decision, but why would you go to all of the trouble and expense to make a billboard? Like, well, that must have been expensive. Do you know what I'm saying? And then I thought, because 1 John says that the whole world is under the sway of the enemy. And scripture just tells us that that's what he's doing. He's at work to deceive and to keep people from coming to Christ. Like, he wants people to be blinded and not to come to the truth. And as long as people are blinded, and as much as the enemy can keep people from going to church, look at, I mean, whoa, if the church is, if our call is to push back darkness and to be light, of course it makes a lot of sense that the enemy is going to want to keep people from church. So he'll bring, you know, I mean, look at all the division even in the church in the last few years. So as much as the enemy could discourage and dishearten the church, deceive people, and tempt people to lead them away from the truth, to start to maybe get discouraged. And then, you know, because a lot of times that's what happens. We get discouraged and then the enemy comes along and goes, well, maybe God, you know, maybe he's not good. Maybe God's not really real, right? And so how many people, you know, I feel like we've seen a kind of a mass exodus in a lot of ways in the last few years of people kind of abandoning maybe their faith and what they believed for years, you know? And I just think it's really important that we have the courage in these days to be able to love people enough to say, hey, like, do you see the enemy? What he is wreaking havoc. There's so much suffering and pain in the world, and he knows the cure is Jesus, and he knows that God works through his people. And so we need to be like, no, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, I think that just, for me, I just spent a lot of time just in the Word, and I love Psalm 119, and I'm just saying to God in these days, like, I just believe you.
Yeah.
The devil just doesn't want us to believe God. It's the lie that was back in the garden with Eve. Did God really say that? Did God really say that? You know, and then he came to Jesus in the wilderness, and he saw, remember when Jesus is fasting, and he says, you know, he knows Jesus is hungry, and he's tired, and he's doing everything he can to keep him from going to the cross, and he you know, one of the temptations, right, is he looks at a piece of a stone and he says, if you're hungry, Jesus, just turn that stone to bread. Turn it to stone. I mean, turn it to bread. You know, and what does Jesus say? You know, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. And I think that the enemy is always trying to, like, look at the places where we're discouraged, we're disheartened, and go, well, yeah, look, just do this, sin. You know, walk out on God, dabble here, dabble there. When maybe what our response needs to be is, no, I might be hurting and I might be discouraged. I might not understand and I might be really wrecked by the pain and the suffering that I'm seeing happening in the world. But my bread, you know, is Jesus said he was the bread of life. And I'm going to trust God. And I do not want to fall for this lie, you know, that I'm going to abandon what I believe or abandon my faith to try to somehow try to, you know, I don't know, make myself feel better temporarily. And so, anyway, that's kind of a long answer, but I hope that even through the fight for freedom, yeah, I think it's so important that people have a biblical perspective because God has things to say about all of this. I mean, I was just reading in Proverbs where it's talking about you want wisdom. And he talks about, he says, the fear of God, like reverence and God for God, respect for God and his word. It actually says that is the key to understanding righteousness, justice, and equity. Aren't those the things everybody's fighting about in the world? And he says, you want to understand, justice can be perverted by people. We're not going to get it right. He says, you want to understand these things? Seek me. Believe me. And I hope that people gain a deeper understanding of human trafficking through the fight for freedom. I hope that people's hearts are broken for it because it's heartbreaking. I hope that people are moved to want to stand up and speak up and get involved. And I hope that the fame of Jesus is spread because of this book.
Yeah. And I think it's so powerful because people, especially in the church, like a lot of the topics that are in this book, you know, it's not something where pastors are a lot of times hesitant to talk about, controversial issues, sexual issues. But like you said, the Bible is not silent on any of these things. It actually speaks pretty frequently about slavery, sexual immorality, all of these things. But we kind of are hesitant to speak out about it because we know that culture is kind of pushed back. But the place where I'm at is understanding that, especially this next generation, the younger people, if we don't speak out now, where they're getting their information from is like Google. Or like I saw an ad pop up on my Facebook, and it was about like this very popular app for health and wellness. And one of the things that was advocating to men was that monogamous relationships are healthy for you. In fact, you need to like try to have multiple sexual partners and be in these polyamorous relationships. Yeah. And that was something I was like completely foreign to me, but in today's culture, this is the kind of stuff that's just kind of being spoon-fed to people. But all of that culture is creating what we see in the issue of trafficking. And so I love that this book is a great excuse. If you're a pastor, you know, you say, hey, we got the Go Box, we're going to go through it as a church, or even dedicate, you know, I know churches that have dedicated like a Sunday or dedicated a month.
Sure.
You know, they're covering different things. And so, you know, we're talking about it on this podcast, but I want to encourage you, if your congregation or if your youth group, especially if you're a middle school pastor or a high school pastor, and you have not broached the subject of sex trafficking or pornography, I would encourage you to just go right now and buy the Go Box and begin to introduce this content to the people that are in your church, because this is a huge crisis that we're seeing, not just here at Houston, but across our nation and across the globe. And he really designed this book because the original Go Box was very Houston-centric. And one of the things you guys did, but this book has made it applicable to anyone in our nation, and maybe even globally.
Yeah.
And so why don't you share about, you know, a quick testimony that you've seen from the Go Box. I'll actually share one because I just have one come to mind. We had gone to the Go Box launch, and we got our free copy, and so I set it out on our available coffee table. So I set it out, and me and another coworker were meeting with a survivor who had been through our program, and she was meeting with us because she wanted to share her story, and we were just kind of talking about, you know, how to do that. And she started just thumbing through the book, and she saw the story about familial trafficking. And it was this moment for her because up until that point, she had never read a story that was similar to hers. And it just encouraged her. But it also helped her. She was like, I felt really seen because I've never read a story like mine. And so, and that was on her coffee table for like 3 days.
That's fun app. Praise God. So thank you.
And so I'm curious to hear, you know, a testimony that you guys have.
Yeah, that we're sleeve from this.
Yeah, I was thinking of one that's actually really similar to that. And we have the story of Lauren in our book, a young woman named Lauren who's extremely courageous and tells her story of familial trafficking in chapter one, experience one. And so we had a young woman that sent an email, and she read the story. And in Lauren's story, she she goes into some detail about what happened and what that looked like. But she also really tells her story of coming to know the Lord and her story of redemption and what God's been doing in her life. And she's not like sugarcoating everything because her fight has not been easy. And she says that, I mean, it's hard work, right? But God has been so faithful. So she tells her story. And so this young woman just said, I knew that I had been sexually abused by my father, but I did not I had not put words or language yet to the fact that I'd also been trafficked by him. And so there was this whole other like layer of pain that I had not dealt with. And she said, and to be honest, I was self-harming. I had an eating disorder. I'd been struggling with suicidal thoughts. And all of a sudden I read your story and I understood, oh my goodness, this is what also happened to me. She said, and since then I'd now wanted to meet with a counselor. And she said, really, if anything, this story and this book gave me hope. Because I see a level of thriving, you know, and this young woman and Lauren that I want. And so I think that's, yeah, I mean, right? Like, we would do this whole thing to be able to love on and touch that one young woman's life. So I don't know all the ways that God is going to use it. In many ways, I feel like looking back on this whole process, it's been about obedience. Like, Lord, you tell us to do it. And someone told me years ago, and it's kind of become a mantra for me the last 10 years, I just obey and leave the results to God. So I don't even know all the ways that this book is going to travel. You know, we're definitely not making any money on this thing, if anything. You know, it's been a cost, and any cost that we recoup will go into more producing more and anti, you know, trafficking efforts. And so, so that's our hearts. It's just that God would use it. And you never know. I mean, you never know when someone is going through something like this, how God might kind of touch them on the shoulder and give them an idea.
Yeah.
Forward. Like, I love the prevention chapter that we added in this. And I can say that because I had a great editor I worked with. I had other people I collaborated with. I mean, we called you, but we reached out to experts, collaborated. I don't consider myself, you know, this expert. So we collaborated with others, but I love our prevention chapter. In fact, the woman who leads our foster care and adoption ministries at the church that I go to ordered 25 boxes and just sent them out to their partners because we just have a huge section on caring for kids who don't have a safe family, who need someone to be in there for her. So how can we as the church and as individuals even step in and care for a vulnerable kid so that they aren't trafficked? What could that look like? I've been surprised. There are actually a lot of ministries. There's a lot of good work being done. A lot of times we just need to go, okay, God, kind of like an experience in God, Henry Blackaby says, sometimes we just need to say, God, where are you at work? And then we just need to join him.
Yeah.
So I want people listening to this to not feel like, oh gosh, now I got to get off and start something. I mean, really, I think then the first step is just to go through something like this and be open and willing to say, God, move in my heart and then show me what you want for you to do.
So how do people pick up a GoBox?
Okay, so go to our website, freedomchurchalliance.org, and you'll see a whole tab on getting a GoBox. If you're in Houston, we have a local pickup option, which is great because you can save on shipping costs. And so please reach out. We have some different options so that, you know, I don't want finances to keep anybody from being able to get their hands on something like this that could be helpful. So, you know, but go to our website and do that to get more information. And we, our hope and prayer is that it'll be something that's really helpful.
Yeah. And thank you for joining us today, Lee. It's been exciting to talk about, to see the GoBox 2.0 be launched and out in the world. And we're excited to see the impact. And I would say, you know, follow Freedom Church Life on Instagram, Facebook. I love, y'all have really great content that y'all share on there as well.
We send out a monthly newsletter as well. And I think you can subscribe on our website. But I just want to say, and even on our website, we've added a button for all of our Houston GoBox users who were like, wait, we really liked the local feature. We have a take action page for Houston that has a link to all of our trusted partners. And guys will see Elijah Rising, and it takes you to Elijah Rising's website and other partners and volunteer opportunities. So thank you guys for all that Elijah Rising has done. You guys have been great partners, and thank you for all that you've done in our city just for freedom and justice. So it's great to all be able to collaborate and work together. So appreciate it.
That's right. We're in it for the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to like, share, subscribe to this podcast, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode. If you were inspired by this content today, please share, rate, and leave a review. Also, please consider making a donation at elijahrising.org/donate. Your support helps us continue the vital mission to combat sex trafficking. Until next time.